You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory on the campus of UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up right away is, in the next hour, the White Noise comedy show, and following that will be the White Noise after show, hosted by myself, and today featuring special guest Daryl Brown, comic. So it's going to be a cracking show, I'm sure. We're also going to play lots of good music, but just to let you know, if you want to keep in touch with us, you can do on Facebook at White Noise UBC, tweet us at White Noise UBC, and you can also check out the best parts of White Noise at whitenoisecomedy.podbean.com. But without further ado, let's listen to the new episode of White Noise.
Warning, the following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's show is brought to you in part by Yoga, Stretching for Pretentious People. Our first piece tackles the classic dilemma, picking the perfect wedding. My perfect wedding would be with a real woman.
Katie, we have to make some decisions about this wedding.
Fine. Well, right off the bat, we are not having your brother doing his marionette show at the reception.
What? But I already gave him the deposit.
No, I'm not sitting through your childhood in puppet form again.
He restrung them especially.
I don't care. It's creepy.
No creepier than your Uncle Jimmy.
He has a lazy eye, Kevin.
It's his lazy hands I'm more worried about.
That was a misunderstanding.
He claimed I offered him to help himself to the candy in my pocket.
Well, there you go, then.
Who offers someone candy from their pocket?
Generous people. Look, I thought you wanted to work out the wedding details.
Fine. Well, I can tell you right now, I want a big church ceremony, and I want all my friends and all my family there.
Really?
Yes, all of them. All 300 of my closest Facebook friends have to be there.
Oh, I was thinking me, you, and the vicar.
That's it?
Wait, silly me. Of course, how could I forget? We need a witness.
Oh, Jesus. All right, look, let's sideline that one for a minute. Let's talk food. For me, it has to be a starter fresh salad niçoise with a light vinaigrette dressing, followed by a main of fresh scallops and oysters served with a delicious side of quinoa. How about you?
We could just do takeout. That would be fine.
Takeout? Look, we have to have a full band. I'm thinking Motown or Soul, something cool like
no,
that.
No. If we're going to have music, it has to be my cousin Frank DJing.
Oh, is he good?
He is the best. He plays all the best stuff. The Spice Girls, NSYNC, the Chicken Song.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, look, what are we going to wear?
I'm fine like this.
Sweatpants and a Snuggie?
Yes, it's so comfy. You should try the one I bought you.
You look like you joined a cult.
The comfiest cult ever!
Look, Katie, this is ridiculous. This is never going to work.
What? But it's only the wedding. Us being together is what really matters.
No, I have been dreaming of this day since I was a page boy at my Auntie Julie's wedding 25 years ago. You are not going to ruin this for me.
You're threatening to break up with me?
Hell yes. You are certainly not jeopardizing my big day.
Wow. You really think some other woman is going to put up with your whining, your impatience, and your constant couponing?
Some women like frugality.
You made me use a coupon when I bought my dad's casket.
They were buy one, get one free.
Now we have a spare casket at the bottom of our bed.
That makes a fantastic ottoman, and until we need it, it also doubles as a spare bed for my nephew when he visits.
I can't believe any woman will put up with that.
I already know she will.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really. She confirmed it on the phone to me. It's all good.
Wait, what? You already have a replacement?
Yeah, of course. Who doesn't? I mean, you know her anyway. It's your sister, Cheryl.
And what have you offered her in return?
I promised her that whenever she asked, I'd do that thing that, you know, gives me the lockjaw.
You really care that much about the wedding?
Yes! I want the beautiful white wedding my father enjoyed, the traditional attire, the perfect four-tier cake, and the marinettes to go with it.
Well, Cheryl can have you then.
Marinettes creep me out too, but then again, I creep out a lot of other people, so who am I to criticize? Next up tonight is a young man seeking his fortune.
Dear young sir, I am Mystic Muriel of Klaus's Fantastical Traveling Carnival. Take a seat and I will reveal your future.
Oh, okay. This is my first time here.
Well, place your trust in me and I will guide you.
All right, so how does this work?
First, you must make an offering to me.
An offering? You want to see me naked?
No. Visa or MasterCard will do.
Oh, right. Sorry. Here you go.
So, Terry, where shall we start?
Whoa! How do you know my name was Terry?
It's on your Visa card, dear. Now, what do you want to know?
Well, I need to know. Am I ever going to be able to get back with Jenny, or should I just move on?
This Jenny, how long since you broke up?
2 years, about.
And she broke up with you, correct?
Whoa! Yeah, how did you know that?
Oh, a wild guess. I mean, a careful deduction.
Okay, well, should I give up?
Oh, yeah, but it doesn't take a psychic to see that.
Let's try something a little harder.
Fine. Well, will I eventually be a millionaire?
Only if the whole country sees mass inflation causing the value of the dollar to drop astronomically. But even then, relatively, you would still be dirt poor.
Oh. Wait, hang on. Aren't you meant to read some, what are they called, tarot cards? Or observe a crystal ball to answer these questions?
Only when necessary. The Best Buy Sales Associate uniform you are wearing told me all I need to know for that last one.
Well, what about my lifespan?
Okay, yes. That's a bit trickier. Let me see your palm.
Oh, that's more like it. Okay, so are you gonna, like, check my lifeline?
No, I'm checking your vital signs. You seem fine. Do you smoke?
No.
Then I'd say at least 75.
Oh, for goodness sake. Can you actually do something psychic?
Well, then ask me something hard, but not something stupid, like when will you lose your virginity?
What? No, that already happened. Well, I mean, I was in her for a bit.
That didn't count.
Okay, well, who's my real mother?
Ooh, yes, that's a good one. Let me get the crystal ball. Okay, so you've never met your mother then?
No, she gave me up at birth.
Really? And what year was this?
1988.
88?
Yeah.
It
was, June 24th, and apparently she was just passing through. She worked in a circus or something like that.
It was in this town?
Yeah.
St. Paul's Hospital?
Oh, yeah. Do you see it in the ball?
Are you sure about this?
Oh, yes. And funny enough, I was the only boy born that day. It was apparently a 26-hour labor.
Oh, I remember. I mean, I see it now.
So, who's my mother?
Well, to be honest, Terry, I have no idea.
Poor Terry. I don't know who my mother is either. She would never tell me her real name. Next up tonight is some entrepreneurial gumption.
Dad, it's time I finally started my own business.
That's fantastic news, son. So, you want to join the family business?
No, actually, I want to do my own thing.
Oh, good, because the assless chaps market is very saturated. Mainly with sweat.
Oh, I know. That's why I'm starting a restaurant.
Again, perhaps a tough industry to flourish in, son?
No, it isn't. You just need a USP. Mine is a restaurant where we serve food and alcohol.
I think that's been done, Cliff.
No, not like this. Let me explain. You come in to the restaurant. A hostess seats you. Then a server takes your drink order and then comes back with the drinks. And then takes your food order.
You're just describing a restaurant.
Well, none of the servers will be wearing pants.
Oh, okay, that's a good touch. But can they at least be wearing assless chaps?
No, the sweating might be a health code violation.
Well, is that really going to be enough?
Yeah. If I get the right people to take their pants off.
Oh, okay. Well, can I perhaps work on it with you a bit? Maybe help manage?
Oh, God, no. I've seen your penis and it won't do.
Oh.
Thank you, Cliff and Rick. That piece was brought to you in part by Assless Chaps. They are not just for secret Saturday night fun. Next up tonight, we return to the diary of the always engaging Terence Tripoli.
Dear Diary, a week ago, I realized it was time for me to find a new job. I cannot, in good conscience, continue working at the fishmongers. The fish keep coming to me in dreams and asking, "Why, Terence? Why?" So I began my search for a new career. First, I looked into becoming a dental hygienist, as I'm fascinated by teeth, sterilization, and stabbing people. Apparently, though, I don't meet the requirements, as I'm not attractive enough. It's crucial, as it stops the patients from wanting to punch you during a teeth cleaning. So my second choice was a tour guide for the city. I found a company that would take me, called Red Light Tours. The route they gave me was through some of the rather seedier parts of town, and a lot of the facts they gave me to read were related to genitalia. I like genitalia trivia as much as the next person, but a 3-hour tour on it seemed a little excessive. So I added in my own extensive knowledge of the local wood varnishing and shoe cobbling industries. The bachelor party I was guiding was unimpressed and decided it would be more fun to strip me naked and tie me to a lamppost. I was fired for losing my uniform on the first day. My third choice was to get a job in the nightlife industry. I've always liked bars, but was too afraid to enter one. I've heard people spike your drinks and then have sex with you. That would be amazing. I applied at a place called the Cesspit. They hired me immediately on the spot. The manager said he had an opening that night, but I'd have to start from the lowest rung. I presumed he meant collecting glasses or dish pit duty. So I arrived for my shift, which began at 1:30 a.m., and was surprised to not be ushered into the back, but was instead nudged into the largest birdcage I have ever seen and told to dance. Fortunately, I was once taught to dance by a world-class dancer, so I danced the Charleston like it was the last day on earth. The crowd was loving it so much, they tried to feed me with drinks. It got really messy. I just wish that they'd handed me them rather than throwing them at me. At the end of my shift, the manager said it was the best entertainment they had ever had, but I quit right then and there. There was a bit too much glass in my face for my liking, especially for minimum wage. Starting to get a little desperate, I headed over to the university to apply for the prestigious position of medical testing volunteer. My father was a medical testing volunteer. That was how he became my second mother, and then my third cousin. The tests I volunteered for were to test a new cream that was meant to increase your sex drive. It worked a little too well, and the doctor returned to check up on me, only to find me making love to the couch. Fortunately, I was still on foreplay, so it wasn't too embarrassing. But it still put me off. I had almost given up hope of ever finding a suitable profession when a gentleman approached me at the bus stop and offered me a job, and dear diary, it is the best job I have ever had. All I have to do is deliver packages to people. I get to drive around in my boss's car, I get a company phone, and I get to meet loads of interesting people. Plus, the pay is excellent. The only downside is I have to keep the packages up my bum. But hey, no job's perfect.
Ah, Terence, be careful, lad. You only get one bottom. Next up tonight, we join the Avengers.
Avengers assemble.
What is it, Stark?
We have two disasters happening right now that need our help. A flood in New York has trapped 1,000 people in their homes, and in Nairobi there is a genocidal militia attacking religious minorities.
Dear God, a flood in New York? We must act immediately.
Why don't you, Banner, Thor, and Scarlett Johansson go save New York, and me, Hawkeye, and Coulson will go save Nairobi.
Couldn't we just deal with New York first? And if we have time later, maybe go help Nairobi?
But there's a genocide there. Why not help them, Coulson?
I'm just not sure if the big news network's gonna care, Tony. Remember Liberia last year? I lost a testicle, and CNN leads with Batman takes down Chicago's jaywalking menace.
Are you only in it for the fame?
Yeah. Why else would I literally risk my nuts at this job?
Well, to serve your country?
I'm not from Nairobi last time I checked. Does Nairobi have its own superheroes?
Yeah, and they're really good, but they emigrated to Europe, and because of the language barrier, they now clean German toilets.
Well, how about you go to Nairobi, Tony, and the rest of us will go save New York.
Fine, fine. I'll go to Nairobi on my own, you jackasses.
Hang on. Another message just came in. Okay. It seems there is no need to rush to either disaster, as whilst we were all standing here arguing, everyone has died.
Oh, shit, not again.
Whoops. Better luck next time, Avengers. Maybe next film, you might even have a plot. Coming up next is People in a Pub.
A beer, please, mate.
I don't think so, buddy.
Why the hell not?
Because you're 11.
11? I'm 45.
Right you are. Where's your ID?
I don't have any ID. I lost it. Shaving this morning.
Sorry, dude. No ID, no service.
Oh, come on. Paul always serves me. Go get him.
Paul's dead.
Dead? What did he die of?
I don't know. He was 95. He probably just disintegrated.
Look at me, dude. I'm middle-aged. I have crow's feet and worry lines.
I noticed. You are one ugly 11-year-old.
Oh, screw you. I will just go next door to that new restaurant where the servers don't wear any pants. They will want me.
Bye, then. Make sure you're home in time for SpongeBob SquarePants, you prick.
Why didn't you just serve the poor bastard, Karen?
Because that fucker hogged the karaoke machine all night last week.
Serves him right. I love karaoke too. I get a standing ovation every time I do Lady Gaga. We actually look a lot alike too. Next up tonight is a purchase.
Good afternoon. How can I help you, sir?
I'd like to buy a personality, please.
Certainly. And what kind would you like?
Something that says profound, influential, and charismatic, but humble.
Those are two rather disparate ideas, but how about this one? This is called the Hugh Jackman.
No, it's a little too Australian.
Well, how about this one? The Tom Cruise?
No, as much as I want to present a veneer of success, I don't think I could handle being that dead inside.
Okay. Well, this one is very popular. It's the Justin Bieber.
Why would anyone want to be like that brat?
Well, most of our customers are morons, sir.
I see. Well, that's still a firm no from me.
Perhaps this one. The Steve Buscemi.
Isn't he a bit weird?
No, he's lovely. He just looks like a bit of a freak.
Oh, no, that won't do.
Okay. Well, then this has to be the one, I think. It's a mixture of minimal talent and a broad, inoffensive, easily digestible style that's enjoyed by the ignorant masses.
Oh, I like that. That's fantastic. What's it called?
The Kevin James.
I would just like to say that I personally love Kevin James. He does me a great service by instantly letting me know that if his name is in the credits of a film, I can give it a miss. Next up tonight is some sci-fi. The year is 2050.
Good evening, and welcome to Foxy News, Fox News' sexier little sister. Tonight's headlines, the world braces for war as the mistakes of the past 200 years begin to be felt by the entire world. In years past, we predicted oil, fresh water, and global warming would be the issues to bring civilization to a collapse. They were half right. A byproduct of global warming looks poised to destroy everything we have built. We're of course talking about the new evil, pollen. Correlating with rising world temperatures, the exponential increase of pollen over the last 200 years has brought tissue shortages, runny noses, itchy eyes, and cartels of antihistamine bandits taking control of large parts of the United States. Blood has been shed, children orphaned, and picnics ruined everywhere. Internationally, this plight has caused rising tensions between superpowers as the leaders' runny noses signal what is dubbed the Second Cold War. There appears to be no answer in sight, but that might be because I keep having to rub my eyes. Let us pray for a non-drowsy solution.
Thank you, Foxy News. I'm not sure if I have pollen allergies. I'd have to actually go outside to find out. Next up tonight is Men Comparing.
I hate to say it, Stan, but mine is way better than yours.
Are you kidding me? Mine has a way nicer skin tone.
Rubbish. Yours looks like it has been in the sun too long. And anyway, mine is way bigger, which, of course, is always better.
Why would you want a big one? Yours looks like it was designed by a 14-year-old boy.
Well, mine is nice and supple, flexible, and I know how to use it.
I doubt it. You don't know how to tie your shoelaces.
We were a Velcro family, thank you. And anyway, thanks to your obsession with piercings, yours smells like an unwashed navel.
You're just jealous that mine gets more attention.
The wrong attention. And it's because you have weird hair.
At least mine has hair.
Mine has hair. Cancer made it fall out, you insensitive dick.
You had cancer?
No. Wait, are we talking about our wives?
I thought we were talking about our noses.
That's why you should always join a conversation halfway through. That piece was brought to you in part by Rhinoplasty, an aptly named profession. That's our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, featuring the voice talents of Connor Nishelput, Sierra Wiley, Victoria Bass, and Simon Welton. Music and sound effects by Max Cheers.
Is it going to pull through?
I'm not sure, honey. It has been 46 years.
I know, but I just love it so much.
It's okay. It's going to a better place. And so are we.
When did I get older? Someone tell me why.
After 46 years on the second floor of the Student Union Building, CITR and Discorder will be moving into a new station in the new Student Union Building.
Join us on Friday, June 26th, as we throw the biggest wake for a radio station you've ever seen.
The party goes from 7 to 10 p.m. RSVP at citr.ca/newstationcelebration.
See you there!
Hello, hello, hello. All right, that was the White Noise show. Coming up right away is the White Noise after show, and I'll be joined by special guest Daryl Brown.
White Noise after show?
Yeah.
It's already the after party.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you just missed the party, mate. That was it.
I didn't miss it. It hasn't started yet. That's all I'm trying to say.
Quality. All right, yeah, so we'll be right back after this.
Do you like laughing, hilarity, radical thought-provoking creativity, and laughing? UBC Improv is UBC's home for improvisational comedy, theater made up on the spot. Like us on Facebook to learn when our next shows are. Search for us on YouTube for our film sketches. And follow us on Twitter because we want the followers. UBC Improv. Insert cheesy slogan here. Let's get it on.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the White Noise After Show. I'm Simon Welton. I'm joined today by Daryl Brown. So, Daryl, you know, you've been doing comedy quite a while now, but you've got a pretty, I would say, a pretty sort of colourful past. So what got you into comedy? Let's start with that.
What got me? What gets anybody into comedy? Like, last...
Well, you say that, but I've had a lot of different answers to that. So let's hear yours. Go on.
Oh, it's just like the last chance at anything. Like, last resort. No, I don't know. It's something I've always wanted to do. It's something that, since I was a little kid, that was my defense mechanism, right? It's trying to make people laugh instead of beat the shit out of you. So, I don't know. It comes from that. It comes from, you know, you wanting to control why people laugh at you, because they're going to laugh at you either way. But just the world of pain brings you to it. Like, tried every job in the world. I'm not cut out to work. That's not what I do. I bullshit. That's it. So why not make a career of it? Lifetime of pain and suffering brings you to comedy. I think that's what brought me to it.
That's fair enough. I mean, yeah, I'd be curious to do a survey. Like, is there any comics out there who at least haven't had though I guess everyone's had trauma in their lives.
Yeah.
So that's perhaps... You know, why do only certain people then go to comedy and not others?
Well, because everybody finds their own way of coping, I think, is what it is. It's just coping with life instead of living it. It's
instead of living
yeah,
it.
Yeah, instead. Everybody's got their mechanism to get their words out in one form or another, maybe not even using words, but, you know, you got to express yourself without compromise. Comedy seems to be the easiest route for that. Some people sing, some people paint. I just talk about poop. You know, because you got to have good poop.
That's true. It's true. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that can really bring you down your day if that's not going well for you.
Fuck up your whole week, really. Bad poops are bad times. Especially if you're running low on toilet paper. Like, what are you going to do? Times are hard.
Yeah, that's something that they don't bring up a lot with people a bit tight on money. Is
the cost of toilet paper. Yeah, especially if you suffer from tar poops.
Well, it's a vicious cycle, because if you're not having the best nutrition...
Right? Because you can't afford it.
Yeah, then you're going to need a lot of toilet paper.
You're not getting enough fiber. No way. Yeah. Nobody gets enough fiber as it is, but you can't afford an apple and a banana... And Metamucil. It's one or the other. You can't. It's tricky. That's all. You know. Just keep it flowing. As long as you're flowing, you're having a good day. It's lighter, at least.
Okay, so for you, like, with comedy, like, when you're writing, like, what, you know, is that what inspires you besides bowel movements? Like, how do you come, you know, what's your methodology for coming up with stuff?
I don't know. It's just, it's bullshitting with your friends, you know? Everybody has a funny friend, and usually you have quite a few, and just being in that environment, you're trying to outdo each other. You're trying to peacock, be the biggest peacock. So you try and make them laugh the hardest. It's just that general conversation. Certain things kind of pop in mind, and you write them down or try to remember them.
Well, it's interesting, because not all comics, though. Like, I mean, I know Stanhope talks about how he literally just sits on his couch in Arizona and writes. Like, that's because he's got no one to talk to. He lives in a tiny town.
My method is aimlessly driving, wasting gas, because there's only so much attention that you can pay driving. I mean, your mind is forced to wander, especially if there's no music or anything playing. You're forced to wander into your own head, into your own ether, and pull out this weird shit that you just end up then writing down and expressing to hundreds of people.
I also find, like, lying down, like, going to sleep.
Yeah.
Is something that you sometimes, like, stuff comes to me, like, oh, bloody hell, I've got to turn the light on, get me pen, get me paper.
That
like, Jesus.
Mitch Hedberg joke just sums up the writing process for that, where, your whole job is to think of things that are funny and then go get a pen and write it down. But if that pen's too far away, you got to convince yourself it's not funny or that you can remember it, which you can't. So, fuck. I just wish there was, like, a tape recorder in your brain all the time that you could just, like, TiVo back to.
It's probably not that far away.
Well, I hope so, because, God, I can't remember what's happening tomorrow.
I mean, right now it is only in your pocket away, so it isn't that far away from
it's
you right
too
now.
Too far. Even Google Glass, it's too far. It's inaccessible. You got to remember to say, okay, Google. No, I can't remember that.
Did you ever see the Black Mirror episode where they foreshadow basically the technology you're talking about?
I have not, no.
It is a really depressing future of people, like, making love to each other while watching replays of better times. Oh, they made love. Like,
that's exactly what would end up happening.
It was quite dark, I have to admit.
That's already happening. I haven't been to a place where some idiot isn't recording some mundane part of life so they can remember it and watch it again later. I thought that's what memories were.
Well, I've noticed a downturn in gigs of people recording for extensive periods of time because people...
It's because their phones are full of shit. They recorded all day. They ate an ice cream earlier. Are you kidding? Can't record a show and record the flavor of ice cream they had earlier.
Well, I do think possibly that it's that, people have just given it such a bad name now, quite rightly.
Yeah, in shows specifically. But even then, you watch some of the craziest, like, hip-hop shows, and there's still some fool with their screen out recording it to then jam with later. I just don't understand people living through a lens like that. Like, memories are for a reason. They're for skewing and elaborating and embellishing, so everything's a bit better. You don't want to remember everything exactly, because nothing happens.
It sounds like you're reading David Sedaris's like response to every criticism he's ever had.
Now, I'm not familiar with him, but...
He's been known to embellish in his excellent stories, but they're hilarious.
That's what stories are. That's what memories are. That's the whole point of... What the fuck are we even doing living life if you can't embellish it later? Like, bungee jumping's great, but if you bungee jumped into an alligator's mouth, that's way more exciting to remember.
As long as you survived it. Well, okay. I guess, yeah, you're saying you're just making it up, though.
Yeah, fuck it, just make it up. Who cares? Life's too short to record everything.
Speaking of remembering things, I had a cracking one last night. We were on the bus coming home from UBC, and there was a rather drunk gentleman who took a disliking to what I would call a sort of, maybe a slightly more cliche of the yuppie sort of Kitsilano sort of person. And I didn't hear what they said, but the young lad decides to throw a few punches. He throws a few punches. There was a bouncer on the bus. He drags him away, and then the guy starts screaming, "You bourgeois!" And then, I won't even repeat the second word, but it was a word that you... Some people, like Eddie Murphy, said a lot on stage in the 80s about gay people. He said that a lot. But I just thought, how can anyone be bourgeois and riding the bus? Like, I don't think you can really...
No, it kind of cancels the other out.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this city. It's so broken. Oh, my goodness. That's a classic.
Just glad he was paying attention in Poly 101, though, because it sounds like he was. So, good for him.
Oh, that makes me sad and happy all at the same time.
Bus driver decides to stop the bus and he goes, "I'm not going anywhere for a bit now." So, they made me bloody, took me an extra 20 minutes to get home. So.
Those guys are out of control, those bus drivers. I will not yield in my car to a bus ever again. I do not care that you have places to go.
Drive a 5-ton. They're a bit more nice to you because you're about to scare
them.
I bet they are.
But they only are intimidating. They don't want to scratch their bus as much as I don't want to scratch my car, so... The game of chicken becomes exciting because you know they're going to pull away or they're going to get something happen to their license. You got to have a clean driver's license to drive bus, I'm sure. Maybe not in Vancouver. That's a good question. These guys are nuts here. They just don't give a crap.
Yeah, well, they are given license too, though. Like, that's the thing. They are given the yield license, so...
It's yeah, no, I understand legally, but necessary. But I just, no, they cut me off too many times. One too many times for me not to give a shit anymore.
Well, there we go. That's Darryl Brown's take on buses. We're going to play another song and we're going to come right back.
Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Alright, there you go. So that was Whitehorse with Downtown, and then a great advert for Power Chord Metal Show. But anyway, I'm in the studio with Darryl Brown.
Hi.
And we were just going to have a little chat about... So for those who don't know, there's been a bit of controversy. There's been under the surface for a while in a lot of towns. In this town in particular, a lot of comics have been upset about what they see as a overcorrection by the political correctness crowd in sort of pushing an agenda of not really allowing any sort of stepping over the line of any sort in any such way. Even some comics have complained about like being corrected when saying what, like a female comic gave the example. She said it to a crowd, "Well, you know, when you're with a guy," and then a woman in the audience shouted, "Some of us don't go with guys." And obviously,
or women.
And obviously,
horrible.
You know, the most, you know, inoffensive attempt at just setting up a joke can be cut down for not being politically correct. And so the likes of Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, who else was it that spoke out about it? I can't remember right now.
Fuck, but everybody.
A lot of big comics are like saying, this is totally uncool. But then on the other side, you have a lot of comics who would say, well, you just have to get better, be cleaner and smarten up and, you know, not go where you know you shouldn't go. Because it doesn't cut everything out. It just cuts out perhaps stuff that even, you know, might be a bit tired anyway, such as things that are sort of like playing on cliches of sex and racial gender and things like that. So, you know, there's two sides of this debate. But what do you think, Daryl?
It's utterly ridiculous. In the last little while, for some reason, people have it stuck in their craw that they don't have the right to be offended anymore, which is ridiculous. You can be offended all you want. Doesn't mean it's going to change anything. It just means you don't listen. Leave. I've never understood anybody being offended by something somebody has said. If you don't agree with it, leave. You don't have to be it's not a two-way conversation, so you don't have to participate. Just leave. I don't understand.
I think especially in America, which has this individualistic capitalist mentality, it makes no sense that they would expect censorship.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Here as well. I mean, the freedom of speech or freedom of expression or whatever fucking country you're in with it, it just means that you're not under any legal liability. You're not going to be arrested for what you said. Of course, there's repercussions, but you can say whatever you want. It doesn't matter. You might have something to say about it, but in the setting of a show, keep it to yourself and just leave.
And I think you could also talk about the fact that perhaps as well, when we're trying to do character, because on stage, we're not every comic's being themselves. So, you know, if you're watching a play and someone says something utterly racist and totally deplorable, you would say this is a play and art, and therefore there is some merit to this perhaps, and there's a reason the writer has made this character who perhaps is, you know, whatever the antithesis of what
that's
he actually
all
means.
In the family. All in the family.
Yeah, I mean, even things like Chappelle's Show.
Couldn't be made today. And it's ridiculous. I mean, what's his name? O'Connor. The lead actor of All in the Family. His character was a racist buffoon, but for a reason. It was to show that people like that still existed. It didn't mean he as a person was. It didn't mean that they were promoting that stuff. It was showing satire. It was showing that people that grew up in a different time still believe the things that they believe based on nonsense and thus turning them into a racist bigot. But it had no reflection on him. It had no reflection on the show. The show was making fun of people like that. It wasn't a documentary series.
But there was one issue with that is that you did end up with this subset of crowd of people who liked the show because they agreed with him.
Of course, and that's always going to happen, but that's just the same. That you can agree with it as a matter of fact, or see it as satire, or to completely not agree with it. But just because you don't agree with it or you're offended by it, doesn't mean it shouldn't exist and it shouldn't be created. There's a reason behind it, and just because you don't understand satire, doesn't mean that you have a right in shutting something like that down. Or heckling, or doing anything to disrupt a show. It's ridiculous. You're allowed to be offended all you want, but that's not going to change things. It's ridiculous. I don't understand this whole, if you offend me, you need to apologize to me and to the rest of the world for what you've done, when the rest of the world gets it. I mean, there's only a select few that are voicing their opinions in this way. They're just louder than the rest. I don't know. It's a strange... You see it a lot in Vancouver. You hear about it from a lot of out-of-town acts as well, that Vancouver crowds are really uptight. But they're not just uptight. They voice their opinions, and they want the shows changed, taken down, and they want to stop this from occurring in the first place, when you could just get up and leave. I don't understand. There's been, like, even the lawsuit a few years ago of that fight that happened in a comedy club, that was based on two people that didn't agree with what the comedian was saying. They could have left, but instead they turned it into a situation where the comedian felt cornered and lashed out, and he ended up losing a lawsuit for a giant chunk of cash that he doesn't have, the bar doesn't have, and it's because two idiots didn't understand a joke. Didn't understand that maybe he wasn't just talking directly to them. Maybe just because it hits home doesn't mean it's directed at you. People get offended by things all the time. If you watch a single comedian do an hour, there's going to be some things you agree with and some things that you don't. But just the opposite, and somebody sat right beside you. You might be offended by something they think's hilarious, and they might be offended by something you think's hilarious. Doesn't mean it shouldn't exist. It's ridiculous.
Do you think perhaps that the modern era of sort of niche interest in all our medium, where we no longer really watch, I think, the spread of things we used to, because we don't have to. We can watch the shows we kind of like, and we can watch the genres we like, and we can watch everything so tunneled in every medium that perhaps people no longer just even accept things outside of their narrow
perspective. They don't even know that, they don't know it exists until they see or hear something, and then they're completely blown away by it because, they're in a microcosm of their own world. They're on their own Pinterest brain. Anything that they're into, and they're never exposed to things that are new or different or strange or whatever. That's exactly what's happening.
Okay, quickly before we go to a song, I want to know, should Yoga Day have happened, yes or no?
Well, if they had a drummer.
What? If they just, like, combined the two events, everything would have been fine?
It would have been fine. It would have been fine.
Yeah.
Tune in to the Red Jam Slam Radio Festival in celebration of Aboriginal Week from June the 17th to June the 21st. The festival will be broadcast across Canada on 7 different stations.
Tune in to www.ckdu.ca or at 88.1 FM in Halifax, Nova Scotia. www.chuo.ca or at 89.1 FM in Ottawa, Ontario.
www.ckuw.ca or at 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
www.ckxu.ca or at 88.3 FM in Lethbridge, Alberta.
And in Vancouver, British Columbia, tune in to
www.cjsf.ca or at 90.1 FM.
www.coopradio.org or at 100.5 FM.
And www.citr.ca or at 101.9 FM.
This year, listen live from 1 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time from June the 17th to the 21st. Check out redjamslam.com.
All right, there you go. That was Milk and Bone with Elephant you were listening to just then. That is a pretty brand new track on our playlist here. So I am in the studio still with Daryl Brown.
Yeah, you are.
And we were going to chat about, you got a good show coming up soon.
Yeah, I got a couple of good shows coming up. But the next big show is at Laughlines, June 18th. Tickets are some denomination of money, and it starts at a certain time. So you should
Thursday, if that helps.
Definitely be, yeah, Thursday, like 7:30, probably. I'm not sure, but you should just be there, because that's what I do. You know, find a passion and quit your job, and then lose like 215 pounds doing this.
He's not, even though he mentioned earlier that he may want to stretch the truth, he's actually telling the bloody truth there. What was it, like 360 you were?
Or? I was 375 most of my life, and then decided to quit everything and follow my ridiculous pipe dream of becoming a comedian, and lost like 215 pounds in about 9 months. Really healthy way of doing it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a passion in life, you know the ones, you got it, you've been thinking about it since you were a little kid. Quit everything and just do it. You'll lose weight, you'll feel horrible, your bones will ache, but guess what? You're not working, so it's good. Live a little. God. People and their laziness. Like you get two lives or something. You get one.
But, I think you're right there, but I just think about that documentary we watched about the ventriloquists.
Well, yeah.
Who just made me sad for professional ventriloquists. Like
find a real passion. You're not going to be a juggler or a ventriloquist or a finger painter. Like, get real. Start digging ditches if that's your passion. But if it's a real one, you know, don't wait. Why? What are you waiting for? Seriously, if you don't get a second one, do it. Have a good poop. And come to my show, June 18th,
I mean, for crying out loud. You said you got other shows as well, so where else
can you see it? I got tons of shows. Just go to, just Google The Daryl Brown. You heard it, The Daryl Brown. I'm everywhere, Twitter, Facebook, fucking Tumblr, Instagram, Friend Face, Huawei, I don't know. Just, I'm on the internet. And all my shit's sometimes there. If not, just buy my art, because I just draw shit, and then you can have my drawings on your wall, and you'll feel great about it.
All right.
You know, thanks.
Thank you for being here, Daryl. We are just about out of town. No, it was lovely to talk to you. We won't be back next week, actually. We are taking a week off because
it's summer. You don't have to explain yourself.
Because it's
going to get drunk at Merritt and have some hillbilly party fun.
I don't live in Glowner anymore.
Merritt. I said Merritt. You're going to Merritt Mount Music Fest. Listen to country.
Not my country.
Wearing cowboy hats. Drinking beer.
But we will be back the week after with another new show and a special guest for sure. So definitely join us then. Coming up next is Synaptic Sandwich, which is always a cracking little EDM show. If you like that sort of thing, I'm going to leave you with a bit of Leaf Rapids. This is Virtual Machine. ¶¶